ready to go? What's your first song? You sure I like that one? You sure I like that one?
And we still got a few coming in. We'll go ahead and get started. Man, just looking around, we have visitors. We're just so fortunate for the visitors that come our way, and we just hope that that what you see us say and do, that you will check your scriptures and see whether they're true or not. We really want to teach just what God's Word says, and we want to follow Him. And as they say, if you don't miss it, if you don't go to heaven, you have missed it all. So we want to all go there. An update on Ann. She does have what they call arterioitis. It's an inflammation of the arteries. It affected the left eye first. She was totally blind in the left eye. A little bit of sight comes back, but they say really for all practical purposes, the eye is pretty well gone. But what they're trying to do is keep it from affecting the other one or other organs of her body. So she's consistent. She keeps getting something different. You know, I used to tell my girls, if you do something wrong, do something wrong differently the next time. Don't do the same thing over. So, and that's the way with us. When we sin, we all do, but just don't do the same one over and over here. And he just, and then also with Kathy Fisher. Kathy entered the hospital yesterday. She also has an infection that they're dealing with, and so those things can be quite serious with what you have to do to them. Again, our visitor, we welcome you. It's good to see everyone here. And as I say, she has attended a lot of times when she didn't feel as good as she did this morning. So that's the thing about her, but if she can get up and move around, she's going to be here. So hopefully the doctor will sign her release and she'll get out of there. So anyway, let's start a service off. Our Father, our God, Father, we are so glad that we can come together. We come before you on the first day of the week, and we come in to remember your Son with the communion and to sing songs of praise and to pray and to hear another word from your scriptures. And just pray for that, Father, that all of us will be attentive, that we'll each learn something that will help us on our journey to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Also want to extend our welcome to the visitors, and you're certainly our honored guests. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us. Our first song, if you're following along in the book, will be number 77, Glorify Thy Name. Christ alone. Before we commune together and remember our Savior, the lesson this morning is on grace through faith, and certainly our memorial of Christ, our remembrance of Him, and this song brings a lot of that to mind. How deep the Father's love. This song will start with the sopranos, and then we'll add the parts, and they'll be labeled on the screen. To come in, the alto, bass, and tenor appropriately. How deep the Father's love. After this, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Soprano.
Thank you.
That was an awesome song to remember this communion. His wounds have paid my ransom. I want to take you on a different thought for a moment. This was taken from a USA Today. It's a little bit dated before the age of digital technology. It was statistics saying that every second in the world, 591 photographs are taken. That's 51 million every day. And over the course of the holiday season, there are 3 billion photographs taken. That's a lot of photos. And why do we take a lot of photos? We spend a lot of time and energy into those photographs to help augment our memory, to help remember things. And I think about last week as I went and got Janice and Skylar from the airport, before I even said hello to them, the first thing I did was take a photograph so I could remember that memory. Because as human beings, sometimes we like to have those things to help us to remember certain items. And in Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing. That's because we need to remember and focus on those good things. Good things like Christ. Good things like this communion, to remember, to focus on that. And if you store good things in your mind, that'll be a great blessing to you. Paul, to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:8, says to remember Christ specifically. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Never forget what Christ did on that cross. And that was a perfect song, like I said, to just sing about, to remember this sacrifice and what he did. So keep Jesus and the photo of him on that cross fresh in your memory as we partake of this communion. Because I believe that today this service was tailor-made by himself to help remember us, to remember him. Because he says to do this in remembrance of me. So as we partake of this cup and partake of this bread, remember to behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, as we just sung. Let us give thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you to commune and to remember Jesus and to remember his death upon the cross. And hopefully, Lord, that memory, that picture is burned in our minds and burned in our hearts, Lord, for we truly love him, Father, and we thank you for this time that we can gather together to remember him, to remember that sacrifice and why he did that sacrifice, Lord, so that we could be together with you and our sins can be put on his shoulders. And Father, for that blessing, for this bread, we are truly thankful. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Bow with me for the cup, please. Father God, we are so thankful to be in your house this morning. We come giving thanks, honor, and praise to the ultimate sacrifice that was paid for our sins, that spear that was driven into his side, that crown of thorns placed upon his head, the beating that he took, that the book of Isaiah says that you couldn't even recognize him as a man, was for us. And as we partake of this fruit of the vine, let us remember that it was that, this is a representation of that blood that was shed for our sins. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our observance of the memorial for this week. We just like to thank our visitors for being here, and we'll use this time now to take up a collection for the further work of the church. If you are here visiting with us, like I say, we are happy you are here, but we are not soliciting any funds from you. We just ask if you would please put a visitor card in the plate as it comes by. We'll ask Evan to lead us with a prayer for the offering.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the wonderful blessings we have received from you. Thank you for being able to provide for others and help us to give some of our money back to you today so that we'll be able to help provide for other people who are trying to spread your word and help your word be able to spread far to everyone who needs it. Thank you for everything you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will be singing On and On We Walk Together, and for those who are looking on in their books, it is on page 599. If you have it, let us sing. My Savior.
Thank you.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time together. With the world outside and all the clamor, we just love so much coming together to worship and praise you, Father, and we hope that it brings glory to your name. Father, you're a sea of goodness with no bottom or banks. And Father, you're the master tapestry maker, Father. And we're thankful that you use our lives as nits in time to make your work so divine, Father. We know that all things work for good for we who love you, Father, for we who are the called according to your purpose. And Father, it's this goodness that we're just so thankful for in this world of evil, Father. If you can make good come from that, how much more the good when we're in heaven with you? And Father, if the cross is good for us and it's worked to our good, how much more will the crown on your Son's head work for our goodness when we're with you? And Father, if your rod and your staff give us comfort here on earth, Father, how much more will your golden scepter bring us peace when we're together with you? And Father, these trials and sufferings that we endure here have a matter of joy in them. How much more will the joy be in the presence of your glory? We love you, Father. We're so thankful for you and for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that you help us to know your will. And as we go out in this world, that we keep our eyes and our ears open and we look to do the next nearest thing that will please you and bring glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you don't all mind standing for this song, please. Let us sing. Jesus gave his life a ransom yonder on Calvary.
Now
recitation will be on page 902, Nothing But the Blood. We will now have our scripture reading.
Good morning. Good morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that out of yourselves it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them.
I had a friend of, haven't seen for over 20 years, call me several days ago and asked me, he said, Tommy, I need you to preach a lesson on salvation by grace through faith. So I said, okay, I'll do that. I have preached a sermon on salvation by grace through faith here. It's been a few years since I did Ephesians 2, but we will once again do that and hopefully make it to where it will be understandable and useful. For we are saved by grace. And we're saved by grace through faith. So the scripture says, oh, I got to turn it on. Now I'm ready. Forgot I had a switch. Salvation by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest you should boast, anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The reason that man needs to be saved is because of the problem that man has, and that problem is sin. And sin separates us from God. It's not that God doesn't want to save us. It's not that he can't save us. But he can't have fellowship with us in sin. And so the scripture says in Isaiah 59 in verse 2, by your iniquities you have separated you from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. I think one of the problems of man is understanding the holiness of God, that God cannot have fellowship with sin and unholiness. And our sin separates us from God. And it is a problem that we all have. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. There's no not one that is righteous. There's no not one that has not sinned. And the problem is that it's not just a little problem. It is a problem that carries with it the sentence of death. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, death has been passed upon all those who sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is pardon. There is hope for pardon. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a lot of things we can't have because they're so precious, so costly. But anything that is precious and costly, you can have if someone gives it to you as a gift. And if we don't understand that we receive salvation as a gift, then we don't understand our salvation. It is the gift of God. The first question that faith will ask, you know, I meant to put this as we look at God is grace, for by grace are you saved, but it's through faith. And every time in the scripture, the first question that is asked when one comes to believe in God, it is, men and brethren, what shall we do? We are sinners, Acts 2 and verse 37. Or as the jailer said to Paul, in the 16th chapter of Acts, he brought Paul and Silas out, and he said unto them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Faith asked this question, what must I do to be saved? Even Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he asked, Lord, what shall I do? In all of these questions about the salvation by grace, when a person comes to believe in Jesus Christ, they ask, what must I do? Are they told something? In every case, they are told what they must do. Let's look at this for a moment. As we study this passage, it's salvation by grace. That's God's part. Man has no grace to offer because we're all guilty of sin. Man's part is faith. Faith asks the question, what must I do to be saved? Let's first look at God. Grace. What is grace? It's a gift. We talked about grace being an unmerited gift or favor that comes to us through the obedience of Christ. And I want you to tell you, that's how we receive this gift of grace. It's through the obedience of Christ. If Christ had not obeyed, if he had not gone to the cross, there would be no gift for us. The gift came through the obedience of one man. Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Sin was let out into this world through the offense of Adam and Eve. And it resulted in condemnation because all have chosen to sin. Now, contrast the disobedience with the obedience of one man. Even so, through one man's righteous act, an innocent man's death on the cross, the free gift came to all men. Well, if the free gift has come to all men, then all are saved. No, it's through faith. Resulted in the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. By the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, salvation is available to all people through faith. The gift of God's grace is the blood of Jesus on the cross. It involved the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ. Now we receive this, man receives this through faith. Faith is the belief with the prominent idea of trust and confidence. I believe in God and I believe exactly what he says and I believe in exactly what he has done. How is that it found? It's through the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other place to find out what God wants us to do. There's no other place to find out about the grace of God. The only place that you can find about the grace of God is in the Word of God that produces faith in the heart of man. Now, salvation that is through faith, that is by the grace of God, The scripture says that's how we're going to access the grace of God, is through our faith. And let's look at this passage, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, justified means made righteous. We are made righteous by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of faith, then, we have peace with God. The sins are taken away through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. What do we have access by faith? We have access by faith into this grace. And where do we stand? In the grace of God, in the salvation we receive. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because we've been saved by grace. And we stand in grace and we've been justified by our faith that's brought us to the grace of God. Now just a moment, as we've looked at grace, let's also look at man's faith. Romans is an interesting book. Romans, I think most people would say it's a book about salvation by faith. How the book of Romans begins and ends is very interesting and revealing. In the first verse, fifth verse of chapter 1, Paul says, through whom we have received grace. And the apostles have received apostleship. What have they been sent to bring about? To bring about the obedience of faith. As in one man, grace came through the obedience of one man, so the apostles and the teaching of the scriptures is the faith that is going to be an obedient faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake. In the last chapter of Romans, in the 16th chapter, almost the end of the book, it is the last chapter, it's almost the last verse, he says, all of this has been brought about to that man might be obedient to the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is that which gives faith, and it must be a faith that is a faith of obedience. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, though Jesus Christ was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And he was made the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, verse 9 says. So the son that obeyed God, that we might have the grace of God, the gift of grace, has sent us the message by which we are obedient to that message and access the grace that has been provided through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's what's been provided as we look at the scripture. What was the problem when we first started? The problem was sin, isn't that right? What separates us from God? It's sin. What can we do about it? Nothing ourselves. There's no way I can say, well, God, look, I really believe I'm innocent. Let me explain this. I want a trial. Let me work myself out of this. Let me prove to you I haven't done it. Let me work enough and then won't that take care of my sin? No. There's only one that can take care of sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will come by faith, in the obedience of faith, to receive this gift. Well, the gift is that we're saved. And the Bible uses this language. The Bible uses the language that our sins will be washed away. The Bible uses the language that we will receive the remission of our sins. The Bible uses the language that we shall be saved from the consequences of our sin, which is being under the wrath of God. Let's look at these verses a minute. That's certainly what Jesus Christ did for us. That's exactly what his blood was shed for. That's exactly what the blood of Christ is, and we are saved by that blood because it washes away our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that, don't we? Revelation 1 in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what God has done for us. That's what grace has done for us. Now, let's look. We see that the grace of God, we've been washed from our sins through the blood of Christ. Now, what about man? Well, what about the obedience of faith? What does man do that he might receive and access the blood of Jesus that takes away our sins? The Apostle Paul, when he recounts his conversion in Acts, the 22nd chapter, verse 16, the preacher Ananias said to him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So here we find that God gave forth his son, his obedient son, went to the cross and died that we might be washed from our sins. Man accesses this when man is baptized and his sins are washed away. The other term we talked about the Bible uses is the remission of sins. Well, let's look at what the blood of Christ has done concerning our remission of sins. Tim could have read this verse as he did a good job on the Lord's Supper and loved it. But one verse that's used sometimes, quite often probably, is Matthew the 26th chapter and verse 28, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He said, as he held this cup before his disciples, he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." How do we receive the remission of sins? By the blood of Jesus, by the gift of one son, by the obedience of one man, many shall receive the forgiveness of sins. Man's faith. What does it say about those who believe? I told you in Acts 2, it says, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What were they told to do if they believed? Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized into the name of Jesus." Here's the same phrase. "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, we've looked at God's grace providing the washing and the remission of sin and man's faith reacting to God's word to bring about that which Christ died for. What about being saved? Romans 5 and verse 9, I certainly like this passage. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood," we're justified by his blood, "in that we are saved from the wrath of God through him." We're saved from the consequences of our sins by the blood of Jesus. Man must believe that. And he who believes, Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Look at what we have as we read the scripture. We have God's grace providing salvation for all men. We have God's Son willing to be obedient to what the Father said. You know, I would not like to have to give that plan, would you? My only begotten Son to be offered as a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for the salvation of many. But Jesus willingly went to the cross in obedience to God that all might be saved. We will be saved through faith. And it says the obedience of faith, that we're washed, the sins are remitted, we're saved, comes with something to do with baptism. Let's look at it a little bit closer now. We learn from Acts, Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, which we've already read, that we have access to God's grace through faith, and we stand in this grace. Well, how does it happen? How does all of this come about? And how does man's faith lead one to the blood of Jesus? God's grace. By God's grace, we are washed, we have our sins remitted, and we're saved. We are able to have that because one man, Jesus Christ, was obedient unto death for the sins of all men. Without that blood, we cannot be saved. But we are saved by this grace through faith. And as we're saved by this grace through faith, we find that man's faith must be an obedient faith. And we looked at these passages just a moment ago that shows that man is told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Believe and be baptized to be saved in order that you might receive the gift of God's grace. That's the verses we've read. Does the Bible tie this obedience of faith that Romans talks about? The obedience of faith, is it tied together with the blood of Jesus Christ in any way in the book of Romans? Turn to Romans, the 6th chapter, and let's just read this quickly. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, and what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? God put this connection, not me. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is freed from sin. And one other passage as we look at this baptism into the death of Christ. Is faith and salvation and being in Christ, being clothed with Christ, meeting Christ in his death, is it tied together in the scriptures? Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the word for says, let me explain that a little farther. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Does that not suggest that there's something God has said here that connects a person that by faith is baptized into Christ and has been clothed with Christ? It certainly seems that way to me, and I think it does to you too. What shall we do is the question of faith. When we look at that in the scriptures, I think we're going to have to change the battery on this off. Uh-oh. Put me back up there. This isn't seeming to work very well either. What we're going to look at, and I can go through this, Acts 2 and verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What happened in verse 41 of Acts 2? As many as received his word were baptized. Why did they do that? That day, 3,000 souls were added to his body. And when we look over to the other passage in Acts, the 16th chapter, when the jailer came out and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then Paul, if you read the scripture, he preached to them Jesus. Now he preached to them the gospel of faith. And when they heard the gospel of faith, what did they do? The same hour of the night, the jailer and his household were baptized. And then when we look again at this passage, they're still finding me back there. I gave a bunch of them today, didn't I? You got to keep going, friends. Let me see if this will work. Look at this work now. We have a clicker problem, and we got brand new clickers. Okay, hit the button back there for me. I'm sorry that this. Okay, in Acts, it's Paul's account. He was on, he said unto God, Jesus, who appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he said to the Lord, you remember what he said? Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you remember what the Lord said at that occasion? He said, you go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And so he went into the city, and he was there for 3 days without food and drink, and he was in prayer. And then when, well, I got these two mixed up, but anyway, I've already covered 16. And then he said, Ananias came to him after he'd been there 3 days, after 3 days ago that he met with the Lord on the road to Damascus, of which many say that was when he is saved. Why did 3 days later a man come preach the gospel? Because that's how faith is given to every man. And what was he told to do? He said, why are you tarrying? Why don't you arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, in Acts 22 and verse 16. So this is what it says. Why? Why does the Bible say that? And people, you know, there's people that over here with grace, they say, oh, it's only grace, you don't have to do anything. Calvinist says, you know, either God elected you or didn't elect you. And if you were elected, there's nothing you can do about it. It's all grace. And so, you know, Scott, you're accepted. Tony, you're not. That's just the way it is. Well, I don't believe that. Whosoever will may come. There's other people that say over here, well, man's got to do anything. And they talk about it, and it sounds like man's going to work their way to heaven. It doesn't matter which way men go. What does the scripture say? Someone says, well, why did God say it that way? Some say, are you sure that's what we need to do? Because that's not what I've heard about. I've heard that you accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, and you say the sinner's prayer, and you receive Jesus, and you're saved. I didn't read any of that in the Bible, and I still haven't read that. And they said, well, what about Saul of Tarsus? He was saved on the road to Damascus. You know, the thing we've already shown that is that Paul, he was on the road to Damascus. He was told to go into the city. And after 3 days, the preacher came and says, why do you tarry any longer? Why don't you arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? I do know the scripture says that people who are baptized and become into Christ, they can sin again. And I know what they're to do. In Acts the 8th chapter and verse 13, Simon the sorcerer believed God, the message preached, and he was baptized, and then he sinned. He wanted to buy the gift of the Spirit. He was told to repent and to pray God if perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. Hit the button back there. I'm slowing down here. Hit it again. Hit it again. You know why? Because a Christian, that's what a Christian does when they sin. I'm writing these things to you, 1 John 2 and verse 1. I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if you do sin, dear Christians, you have an advocate with the Father. You're in Christ. And he will forgive you. Pray to God and you will be forgiven. That's what we're to do. Why did God do it this way? I don't know. But I don't have to understand it. I've just got to believe it and do it. Do you remember the last plague in Egypt? The death of the firstborn? God says, I will deliver the firstborn who believe in me. And he says, here's the way I'll do that. It's going to be by his grace, because he's going to kill the firstborn of all. But he said, trust me, I'll save your firstborn. He said, you go get a lamb of a year old, unblemished, and you kill it. And you put the blood on the door frame. You put it on the sides and over the top. And when I come and see the blood, I'll pass over you. Somebody says, well, if God's going to save, why would he do that? I don't know. Boy, that's working your way to salvation. I'm telling you, they went out there and killed that lamb and put blood up there. No, they believed God. And sometime God asks and tests our faith in ways that's not according to the wisdom of men. You know what happened if you put the blood on the doorpost? Your firstborn was saved. Then again, what about the capture of Jericho? Do you remember that story? God told them in Joshua 6 and verse 2, he told Joshua, he says, Joshua, I've given you the city of Jericho. I've given it to you. It's a gift of grace to you. Thank you, Lord. I mean, this was a big city. They had walls. They could run chariots around the wall. He says, I've given you this city. Now, here's what I want you to do to receive this gift. I want you to get seven priests, and I want you to get seven ram's horns of trumpets. And I want soldiers to go before it, after it. I want the ark carried around, and you go walk around that wall. Okay, we've done that. Do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Seventh day, do it again, and then blow the trumpets and shout. Before that seventh day, nobody was to shout or say anything. Did the Israelites earn their capture of Jericho? Was it by works they had done? It was by grace through faith. Faith that was tested in something that might sound nonsensical to the minds of men. But when they did what God said, the walls fell down. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, the captain of the host of the Syrians, Naaman, was a leper. And these Armenians captured some of the Jews, and they captured a young maiden girl, and she told this great soldier, says, there's a prophet in Israel. He can heal the leprosy. And Naaman went with an entourage and gifts, and he comes and he looks and wants to know about this prophet. And the prophet sent out a servant and said, you go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And after the 7th time, when you come up, you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. Do you remember how Naaman received that message? He was infuriated. He wanted to go home. We got better rivers. I brought all these gifts. He wants me to make a fool of myself. Naaman was not willing to receive the gift, as God stipulated. He had to believe. Finally, a servant told Naaman, Lord, if he had told you some great thing to do, would you have done it? He said, yeah. He said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He went and dipped 7 times in the River Jordan. And when he came up that 7th time, he was cleansed. By faith, through grace. You remember Abraham offering his son, Isaac, on the altar. Genesis 22. God said to Abraham, you go, I'm going to give you all I've promised. He believed God, and it counted him as righteousness. How did God know he believed him all the way? He said, Abraham, take your son and go up and offer him as a sacrifice, your only son, a promise. He got up early the next morning. He went, and he was ready. This picture shows him about to offer his son. And the angel of the Lord stopped him. And in Genesis 22 and verse 12, the scripture says, Now I know that you believe and trust me, you would not withhold your only son from me. God's made us of free wills. There are simple things of faith that we decide, do we trust God or not? And when you turn, I want to end this lesson, this time, in James, the second chapter. If you'll just turn over to James, the second chapter. John Calvin did not like the book of James because it was so much about free will and what man needed to do to receive the grace of God. But I want to note this example, and I'm going to start reading in verse 19. You believe that God is one? You believe in God? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of his works, faith was proven and perfected. And look at verse 23. And this is when the scripture was fulfilled at this time, which says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, a man is justified by doing what faith demands. I believe we're saved by the grace of God. I believe it's through faith, and God has given us his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul commended the elders of Ephesians to God and to the word of his grace. Man listens to what God says and he obeys because he believes in God. And that obedience brings him to the gift of God's grace, and then man is saved by grace through faith. And it's not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Salvation by grace through faith, the only hope for all of us or any of us. If you're here today and you haven't done those things, you haven't received the grace of God by faith and trusting in God, we ask you to do that. If you understood that through this lesson and you haven't done it, do it right now. Together we stand and sing.
Makes me white as snow.
Be seated just a moment, please. Kenny came forward. Many of you know Dustin McAllister, who's come with Kenny early on quite a bit. Dustin has come back sporadically over the last, and not very much over the last few months. Dustin is a young man that Kenny worked with in a steel company, and they studied for how long before he was baptized? A year and a half, and he obeyed the Lord, and Dustin then went through some troubled times, and he was coming back, and he was getting stronger, and Kenny and Margie have worked with him a lot, and then he just really went back to the world, and it's been very devastating to Kenny and Margie. Margie sees him at work some, and now he's come back to Kenny to talk again in some 4 hours, just yesterday, was it? The day before yesterday, they studied. And Dustin is wanting, but Satan is sifting him. And he's asking things and having pains and trials that are very difficult for him. And it's been very difficult for Kenny, too, because he and Dustin were so close and in the Lord. And Jesus told Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when you once have turned again, strengthen your brethren." Kenny is asking for the saints to be praying for Dustin, that Satan will not be able to sift him any longer, but that he might turn, be converted, and strengthen the brethren once again. Let's have a prayer on behalf of Dustin. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that Jesus Christ is our advocate, that in Christ we come to you with our troubles, we come to you with our cares, and Lord, we come right now presenting before you Dustin McAllister. Lord, we know that you know him, and you know more than we do his struggles. Satan would have us all, as he's now been cast down to this earth, he would have us all struggle in ways that some way drew us away from you, some way got us not to trust what you've said. Dustin has been sifted mightily, and the world has he came out of, and he came from so far in the world to so close to you, but the world has pulled back, and yet he still has a conscience that is pricked, and he knows better. Lord, help defeat Satan. Help strengthen his faith, and we pray that all things will work together, that he might have the place where he can choose, and he will choose, to be converted and come back into your fold and strengthen your brethren. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Just a couple of announcements before we close with prayer. Those interested in the upcoming VBS, interested in helping out in the upcoming VBS, be sure and attend the meeting that's being held by Dwayne Dyer in the large classroom back there tomorrow night after services. That's tomorrow night after services. I'm sorry. Tonight, I put my notes down and I don't read them right. All right, everybody will remember that now. There is a get-together for the graduating seniors Saturday at Franklis Park. That's from 2 to 5 at Franklis. It's going to be a potluck, so be sure and bring your favorite dish. And the teen group, in lieu of that, the teen group is going to be moved to June 3rd at Dorton Park after morning services. And do remember to keep Kathy Fisher and Ann Lewis in your prayers. They are still in the hospital. And it's great to see Val back. She was in the hospital last week and back with us this week. So we'll be close with prayer.
Would you bow with me, please? Our dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come out this morning, learn more about your word, and understand that it's not us that can find our way or work our way or do something to get to heaven. It was your plan. It was your son that you sacrificed, that by grace you've forgiven us of the sins that we create and make and things that we do in this world that you wouldn't want us to, but the humans that we are, struggles that we face, we must always focus on you and understand that you gave us the path through your son Jesus. We thank you for this church that we're able to assemble here. Always pray that we can be a biblical church, add nothing to the Bible, take nothing away. Be with us as we depart here. Take us safely to and from and to the next appointed time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.